The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good, thanks. And you guys and Howard, I tell you, I also have problems pronouncing things sometimes, but I tell you, Gal Gadot is the spokesperson or the spokesmodel for, I don't know, how do you say it? Huawei. We'll have to ask the Chinese vice president who's here, Howard. But she's the spokesmodel, so, you know, nachas when we see that.
Okay, fine. So we're all supporters then of that. All right, can we talk about something that is obviously become quite concerning? News broke yesterday that there is a Hezbollah base very, very close to Israel's borders. Now, that is in contravention of a United Nations stipulation. And in fact, the United Nations have been overseeing this, and they seem to have not noticed. Tell us this insane story.
Well, this is quite incredible. This is now the sixth post or a base that has been discovered along the Israel-Lebanon border, which has been used by Hezbollah operatives. And really, you can't make this stuff up. But what they do is they have disguised themselves as tree-planting environmental activists. And I don't think that Hezbollah have tree-hugging or planting in their mandate at all. But what they do is they've created an organization called Green Without Borders. So it sounds, you know, very Hamish, very legitimate. And this Green Without Borders is a cover for Hezbollah to set up their bases along the border. Now, it shouldn't be new to the United Nations, because our ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Danone, revealed this to the United Nations, and they said this is well-documented proof of Hezbollah's dangerous provocations, and it shows you that Hezbollah are conducting reconnaissance near the Blue Line, and they using civilian activity to disguise this, and this is in clear violation of the United Nations Security Council's resolutions 1701 and 1559. And Danone told this to the UN Security Council, who seem to still carry on believing that this Green Without Borders, these Hezbollah operatives dressed up as gardeners, is totally legitimate. But we do have video footage, and you can actually see it for yourself what is happening.
What is likely to take place now at the United Nations, considering that this is happening under their noses? And it either indicates complete incompetency, which is the better option of the other alternatives.
Well, it's a good question. And, you know, Israelis are extremely cynical when it comes to the United Nations. We have UNRWA in the south, and now we've got the United Nations in the north allowing this huge transgression by Hezbollah to carry on. So what we are going to hope for is that there will be some kind of sanctioning against Hezbollah, against Lebanon, which is allowing this. And also we would expect that the UNIFIL troops the United Nations forces or interim forces in Lebanon will do something about it. They will be sanctioned in some way, or they will start preventing this. And the IDF has spoken to the United Nations as well. And UNIFIL keeps saying, you know, it's private land. But this is absolutely unacceptable. We are hoping for some kind of harsh rebuke of both the UN forces that are there, that are supposed to be watching and patrolling this, and to Hezbollah as well. We're not going to hold our breath, though.
No, but what's interesting to me is that with regard to the Syrian conflict, we know that there's been an agreement that Iran is not allowed within a certain amount, a certain distance of Israel's borders. Does the same thing apply in Lebanon, and the fact that Hezbollah is completely funded by Iran, and they are a proxy army of Iran, of the Iranian regime? Is this viewed as though Iran is sitting on Israel's borders in Lebanon?
Well, this is the concern, and we have presented the government of Lebanon with a request or a letter asking that they dismantle these observation posts immediately, and they disallow any future activity of Hezbollah and its affiliates in this area, because it does bring Iran that much closer to Israel on the Lebanese border. You know, we have Russia to try and intervene on our behalf with Iran and with Syria. Netanyahu has been speaking to Putin, you know, despite the recent tensions with the S-300s. We've been speaking to via Putin to Iran to try and push them back so that they are not on our borders. Now we're going to have to do the same thing with Hezbollah. And you know, the trick is now getting the United Nations to realize that this so-called NGO, Green Without Borders, is not an NGO at all. This is exactly what they are doing. They are supposed to respect Resolution 1701, which prohibits any kind of military presence south of the Litani River, except for the Lebanese army and the United Nations UNIFIL forces. However, that we now have these Hezbollah operatives setting up these outposts, and that's in flagrant violation of this. But, you know, can we trust the United Nations to do their job? You know, a lot of cynicism here. We're going to perhaps have to look to other powers to perhaps intervene on our behalf.
Yeah, Mervyn's saying they are all talk. That's all that they can do. They are impotent. So certainly that is a concern. Trump is getting tough on Netanyahu, and he told the French that he can treat Bibi the same way that he treats the Palestinians. What is going on with this?
Well, first of all, we're still waiting for the Trump peace plan. I think it has a gestation period longer than elephants, Howard. But we're really, really waiting to hear what his proposals are going to be. All we know, and we've heard this from his team, is that neither side is going to be terribly ecstatic. Both sides are going to be asked to make concessions. So now, in a conversation with the French Emmanuel Macron, President Trump is reported to have said that he can be just as tough on Israel as he has been with the Palestinians. Both leaders expressed their concerns that Prime Minister Netanyahu is more happy with the status quo that we have rather than moving towards any kind of negotiation. And Trump has said, I've given a lot to Netanyahu. I moved the embassy to Jerusalem. We give Israel $5 billion a year. Now, that number is up for discussion because, according to experts, it's only $3.5 billion. So I don't know where the other $1.5 billion is coming from. And he says, I can be tough with Netanyahu on the peace plan, just as I've been tough on the Palestinians. And this was in a conversation with Macron at the UNGA just last month. And those who have leaked the discussion to the media said that Trump has allegedly have said to Macron, you know, Emmanuel, I'm very close to reaching the same conclusion that you do, that Bibi likes the status quo. Mm-hmm. Now, the Palestinians will not negotiate or speak to the United States because they say they are far too biased in favor of Israel. And Israel knows that our biggest partner in aid, in cooperation, is the United States. And we're not going to want to rock the boat. So it's going to be very interesting. I would love to be a fly on the wall when these discussions start happening. You know, very often they don't share this kind of information with the media. And Trump went on to say, you know, I was tough on the Palestinians because they won't talk to us, and that's unacceptable. But he says that Israel is going to have to pay a higher price in any future talks, and this is because he moved the embassy to Jerusalem and officially recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
What's interesting here is I wonder how how genuine this is, or if it isn't just trying to win back or establish some form of balance between the perception that he's only he's one-sided and biased towards Israel. So I just wonder if this isn't some form of just posturing and saying, well, I can be as tough on Israel as I am on the Palestinians. I can be as tough as on Netanyahu as I am on Abbas. You know, my sense here is we don't really know what this messaging is about. And something I've observed in politics is that everything is messaging. All of these public statements are there to create a narrative that might be just somewhat different to that which is reality. But it will be an interesting one to follow. Has there been any reaction from Bibi on this?
Not yet, and I think it's exactly as you say. He understands the world of messaging and politicking. There's the messaging and then there's the optics, and when you see the Israeli Prime Minister and the American President dressed the same color suit, you know, the same color tie, it also sends out a different kind of message. But we've also heard from senior White House advisor Jared Kushner, who is, of course, the son-in-law of President Trump, and he also said yesterday that the status quo is not acceptable, and expresses his hopes that both leaders will start to come to the negotiating table and make concessions. And he says, and this is Jared Kushner to CNN, he said the situation is only getting worse. At some point, the leaders will have to take a bold step and make compromise. We hope to find leaderships that are ready to do so. So that's also very, very interesting language. But I think you're right. I think that this is the world of politics. This is perhaps the Trump administration's way of sending a message to Europe that, you know, they can be even-handed, that they can treat both sides equally. And, all of us would love to know what the Trump peace plan contains. Apparently, it is one of the most closely guarded secrets in Washington, if secrets in Washington are even possible. But we're all dying to know.
Very, very interesting indeed. And, they are going to have to share it at some point. Otherwise, it's really not going to be very helpful. Let's just talk for a moment. Is it big news in Israel that this explosive device has been found close to Soros's home?
It's very big news in Israel. In fact, it's dominating the media today, both English and Hebrew. So if you haven't been following, an explosive device was found last night in George Soros's mailbox in his New York home. And George Soros is a very, very controversial figure. He's a Hungarian-American philanthropist. He's a survivor of the Holocaust. And he's very often, or more often than not, the favorite conspiracy theorist, or conspiracy theory rather, of the right wing in Hungary. He's virtually despised by the Orban government, and very often when something happens, I see people on social media or in the media pining, you know, was George Soros behind this? I don't know what you find, Howard.
It's all over the place, I find it very, very difficult to establish what is real and what isn't with regard to George Soros, because every second thing that is happening is blamed on George Soros. Now, it doesn't mean that some of them isn't him, and some of, doesn't mean that any of it is him, and I find that quite problematic, because there's always these allegations, but very, very little proof that that he is involved in all of these in these conspiracies. So I do find the whole George Soros thing just a little bit perplexing, and I don't really know. And I'm not sure that anybody does.
Well, one thing is for certain, he is the target of a lot of vitriol. Just last week there were flyers distributed around blaming Jews for the sexual assault allegations against the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And those also had pictures and images of Soros and also Rudy Giuliani, who was the former New York City mayor during the 9/11 attacks, who was was quite extraordinary, and who's also now a lawyer for President Trump, retweeted a tweet the other day calling George Soros the Antichrist. So this is a lot of venom and a lot of vitriol targeted at him. And, if we go back to his homeland of Hungary, the Hungarian Prime Minister blames him for encouraging refugees to try and seek asylum or to settle in Hungary. And, if you look at the politics of Hungary at the moment, it is the Orban government is a very, very right-wing government. You know, it kind of puts us, Israel, in a difficult position, because while we don't agree with the ultra-right because of a lot of anti-Semitism and a lot of, and of course the rise in anti-Semitism in Hungary, one thing we do have from Hungary is that they are very supportive of the state of Israel. But, he is both the target of these conspiracy theories in Hungary and in his new adoptive home of the United States. So I wonder who's behind this, Howard. Are we going to take some bets?
No, I don't know. It's got to be the alt-right somewhere along the line. I mean, who else would do this? But it is a fascinating one, and we'll see during the course of the day if anything breaks on this news. You'll be talking about it to Kathy Kaler this afternoon. But otherwise, we'll chat to you tomorrow morning, where we'll get the latest Israel news and from you. This is our Israel Report with Rolene Marks. Thank you, as always. We'll chat to you tomorrow, same time, same place.